Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Why Am I So Happy? Your host, Paula Vale, here. I am so happy today to share just a fascinating man who he really affects so many people in the workplace. He does so much. And I mean, that is a big part of our life. So I'm really excited for this interview today. I have with us today Eddie Lucerarian. Eddie is the renowned author of the leadership book, When Bosses Go Wild, Preventing Employee Morale Knockouts. I love that. He has spent his career improving operational workflows and understanding how leaders can overcome tough obstacles. But I'm going to let Eddie share a lot of what he does. This is just going to be such a great show. I'm so excited. First off, Eddie, I want to welcome you to the show and say thank you.
Thank you, Paula. I'm excited to be here and be able to speak to your audience on this important subject of how do we increase our morale at work,
yes,
while maintaining happiness and a productive work environment.
Oh, I love it. Let's begin. Tell us a bit of your background and what brought you to where you're at today.
Sure. After obtaining my undergrad degree in hotel and restaurant management from Cal Poly Pomona, I went to work for the hospitality industry. So I've worked in both restaurants and hotels throughout my career. And then I earned my MBA from the University of Redlands. And for the last 15 years, I've been the head of training in the flooring industry. So I've had a lot of wonderful leaders in and out of my life. I've had wonderful mentors who have put their arm around me and guided me throughout my career.
Oh, I love it. I love you mentioning the restaurant industry. I myself was a restaurant girl for 27 years, and we learn so much. Eddie, I believe you learned so many skills in the hospitality business.
Indeed, we did.
Yes.
I did. And in fact, well, I grew up in the industry, in the restaurant business, just as you did, Paula. My parents owned a restaurant for 35 years, and I was brought up as a server. And what better way to learn about customer service,
yes,
than in your parents' business, right?
Yes, I love it. That is so great. And that's how it was in my restaurant. My children were there. My daughter was like my right-hand girl. And, you know, it's just a great thing. Family-owned restaurants. It's really fantastic. Oh, I love it. I love it, Eddie. Really great. Now, tell me, what was your motivation to write a book on employee morale?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, Paula, I've had wonderful mentors throughout my career, and they have really held my hand, guided me through, you know, the ups and the downs of the management ranks. And early on, I learned that if there was no mentor in my life, it would have taken me a lot longer to rise up the ladder of, you know, corporate success. So I said to myself early on, if I am ever given the opportunity to, you know, be that influential leader in someone else's life, I would love to give something back. So given that I've had a lot of different experiences that are, you know, somewhat unique to, you know, across various industries, the hospitality and now the flooring industry, what better way to chronicle my experiences than to put it in writing and leave a legacy behind for people who are embraced by positive leadership in their lives. So similar, or on the other side of the coin, I've also experienced bad leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And in my, while going through my management training, I witnessed people who weren't really committed to the development of their teams. They weren't focused on recognizing team members for, you know, positive, bringing their positivity to the workplace. or to maintain their enthusiasm, get the job done with a high level of quality and service. And I found that to be a shame. Every person has good in them. Mm-hmm. And the bosses that don't recognize that are quick to destroy morale in the workplace. So I thought, what better way to help people that are experiencing these bad bosses than to give them 12 techniques, talk about 12 things that, 12 dimensions of what a bad boss is, and guide them through not only what affects or how that affects their morale, but what they need to do to overcome those bad boss behaviors. My book is written from two different perspectives. When Bosses Go Wild not only focuses on managers as one segment of the opera of the coin, but the other side focuses on the employee. So the team members who don't exactly know how to walk up to their boss and say there's something wrong, we need to talk. So I'm giving both sides the techniques that they need to maintain happiness at work.
I love it. And because the level of morale can just make a huge difference for everyone, can't it?
Of course. And morale is such an important focus point, especially these days when employees have very many options. You know, a lot of employees who find greener pastures on the other side of the fence may leave their current employer because of a bad boss, or because there's one element that isn't really in their favor on the job. So they go somewhere else where they believe they're going to find more happiness. Unfortunately, when they get there, they realize that much of the same problems exist on the other side of the fence as well.
Yes.
And I learned early on in my career, Paula, that the grass is only greener on the other side because somebody else is watering it. And which means if the leader isn't focused on building employee morale, then regardless of how many hours you spend in the workplace, you're not going to have a focused and productive team. Mm-hmm. Unless the leader is building enthusiasm, is creating a positive work environment for his or her team on a daily basis.
Yeah, I love it. How does your book, Eddie, positively impact morale?
Well, my book gets to the root of 12 dimensions of bad boss behaviors. Let me give you an example. The boss that doesn't give his employee enough information but assigns them a project is not setting up that employee for success. And an employee who doesn't feel that they have a voice, in other words, they don't feel like they can knock on their boss's door and ask for more information, is bound to fail in that project. So what I do is I inform the boss that if they take such a course, in other words, if they don't give enough information to their employees when assigning the project, how it's going to affect the employee's morale. And on the flip side, I instruct the employee to take a stand and go into the boss's office and ask for more information so that they can do the project with a high level of quality and service.
Mm-hmm.
And I go through 12 different dimensions like that. For example, what do you do if your boss steals your credit? You do all the work, and your boss ends up taking all the credit for himself or herself. What do you do if your boss claims to be a know-it-all? What do you do if you don't have a boss, or you have a boss who doesn't like to recognize employees for the hard work?
Yes.
Employees are tired of putting up with it. And I am focused on creating a happy work environment. And to companies, there are tremendous benefits for incorporating my book in their business, in their management training program. And the benefits are building sales, increasing productivity, increasing employee engagement, reducing turnover, and reducing recruiting costs. So on a variety of levels, my book is beneficial to both managers and employees.
Wow. And all of those examples you mentioned, I mean, those are things that happen every day, Eddie, in so many areas. Yes.
Oh, I have interviewed over 1,000 people in my research and while collecting information on the subject. And I found that I wasn't the only one who had experienced bad bosses along the way. And it only takes one example, one bad boss, to ruin the bunch. And I didn't want employees to walk away thinking that every boss out there was creating a toxic work environment. There are a lot of great bosses out there, and I make it a point in my book to highlight where the good ones or what distinguishes a good boss from a bad boss. So I wanted to be very careful not to make this a book about why all bosses are negative, because that's clearly not the case. There are a lot of caring, loving bosses that really work hard to create a positive vibe in the office.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So over 53% of the population of working adults have experienced, or to this day experience, a bad boss. To some degree, they are going to work motivated, and when they come out of work, they're demotivated because of something their boss did to them that day. And
yes,
it's those people, those behaviors, that I'm trying to impact through my writing and
yes,
research.
And so then would your book give points to an employee who is dealing with some of those issues, and they can actually make a change with what's going on, or they can make a change with how they feel about it?
Indeed, they can. And in fact, at the end of every chapter, I created a section where both bosses and employees can chronicle or write down their strategy the next time they experience this morale killer, let's call it. So the next time, for example, my boss steals my credit, if I'm the employee, I'm going to write down in the notes section what I'm going to do differently. Or conversely, if I'm the boss and I see that my employees are getting demotivated because of something I did or said, then I can jot down notes to remind me when I'm experiencing this again on what I can do to keep morale high.
Mm-hmm.
So my book gets to the root of what the problem is, and then gives you real life examples of how to overcome those challenges where you can turn around the following day and implement change.
Oh, wow. I love it. I love it. And that, you know, just right there has to give the employee, you know, a sense of more value and just more satisfaction, because I can at least do something. I can get involved in this.
Exactly right. And one of my main focuses in the book is to empower employees and let them know that their voice counts. Their opinion counts. And I realize that many employees come to work motivated. They come because they want to contribute to the success of their team, but they don't often feel like they have a voice or they're part of the solution. So one of my focus points is to empower employees to feel that, or to believe that they can be part of the solution, but if they change a few of their tactics,
mm-hmm,
rather than wait for the action to come to them, I encourage them to take the bull by the horns and ask their boss for either more guidance or more responsibility, whatever the case is, whatever the employee is lacking in their relationship with their boss. I target the root of the problem and offer real life solutions.
Wow. Wow. Now, here's a going kind of off course a moment. I'm wondering, What then you would say, any pointers on if it's not so much the boss, it may be a coworker?
Indeed, that's another great target audience. Often we don't experience issues with our boss. We may have a loving boss, but we're not getting along with our coworker.
Mm-hmm.
Either our coworker is a 9-to-5-er, they don't really care about their job, they're just punching in and punching out. They're doing the bare minimum, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're the motivated employee that we are, and we see someone like that, we need to know how to respond so that it doesn't affect the morale of the office.
Yes.
So in those situations, the same techniques can be applied to a resistant or frustrated coworker that doesn't really care about the success of the team. So whether you're dealing with a bad boss or a bad coworker, the same principles can be applied.
Got it. Oh, I love that. Just some great takeaways for either situation there.
Indeed. And Paula, I've also used some of my techniques on my children where, you know, and I needed some parental advice, and I said, let me apply this technique at home and see if giving more recognition to my children will get them to perform better. And it actually worked, where I went from, you know, most of the time coaching them to now recognizing them along with those tough moments, those tough love mm-hmm. conversations that we parents tend to have with our children.
Yes. Yes.
By applying some of the same principles, giving them more information, giving them more say in the, their daily chores, and recognizing them along the way, and our relationship improved, their performance improved, and the household has settled down.
That's a great idea. I love that. You know, I would think, you know, with reading these, you know, different ideas and different patterns we can implement, that's going to change so much in so many relationships because it's going to change our viewpoint, correct?
Exactly right. People need different perspective when they're dealing with challenges. Too often we become myopic. And we think that we have the solution because we've done it the same way for years. And in fact, in one of my chapters, The Know-It-All Boss, I write about the boss who instinctively approaches a problem the same way for decades. What got me here 20 years ago is likely to work because the same information, or I've done this project multiple times, I know exactly how it's going to work out, but what they fail to realize is the players have changed, the information may have changed, the resources may have changed. And thus, if we don't apply a measure of perspective during these challenging moments with our boss or coworkers, then we're likely to repeat the same lackluster behaviors and performance, and that's what ultimately leads to the destruction of morale in the office. So one of the other main focuses, besides the ones I've mentioned, is to try something different. Do something. If you have an out-of-the-box thinking or a mindset that will allow you to put your ego aside for a moment and consider a different alternative than what you've done for years. Because generally, your answer in every situation isn't going to be the right one, right? If we don't incorporate mm-hmm. other people's research or talents or experiences in the conversation, then we're likely not to get to the right answer or the best answer in every situation. And that's why I spend so much time on empowering employees in my book to have them use their voice, to not be afraid to walk up to their boss and say, you know what, I have a great idea I would love you to consider for the next project. And here's how much we can save the company. Here's how much we can increase our sales. Here's what our productivity increase is going to be, and really go in with confidence, go in with enough metrics to support your claim, and be bold about it. You know, there's no need for employees to wait for the action to come to them. If they just incorporate some of my research in their daily approach, and they, add a different perspective, go about their day a little differently, it's going to create not only a more productive work environment, but much more happiness will follow them into the workplace.
Yes.
And happiness breeds other happiness. Let's face it, if you and I walk into the office with a positive attitude every day, that's infectious.
Yes.
People around us are going to want some of that positivity for themselves. And those that are having a bad day are going to look at us and say, I want whatever that guy has. Give me some of that drink.
Yes. Yes. That is so true. It is. It's so infectious. And, with the example you gave of going to your boss, I have this great idea. We could maybe do this or this. That also, I believe, makes you feel like, you're a part of this business. Its success is also a success for you. And when we get that mindset into play, other than, I did my 9-to-5, when you pull yourself into that and, you're proud of what your company and your fellow employees, what you've created, that's just a great feeling.
Paula, you raise an excellent point. In this day and age, in our current economy, we need people to act and think like owners.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of a better way to run a business than to have an army of owners at every position.
Yes.
However, if our employees are not empowered, are not encouraged, are not made to feel like they belong, and they're not part of the solution, they're just part of the problem, as a lot of bad bosses think, then we can't possibly create the army of support that's going to drive our business forward.
Yes.
So getting people to believe that they are an owner and to think and act like they're an owner is a great challenge for organizations.
Yes.
And through the 12 dimensions that I write about, it will help encourage and empower employees to get there a lot faster.
Oh.
You can tell an employee that I believe in you, but if your actions don't support what you just said, mm-hmm. then that's just a bunch of noise.
Yes.
We need to make sure that our actions as leaders support the message.
Yes. Oh, that's a great point, Eddie. It's not just about the words, but it's about the actions as well. I love that. I love that. Gosh. Well, everyone, we are going to take a moment and take a break. So Eddie and I will be right back. I love this, Eddie. I just love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the opportunity, Paula. I'm enjoying our conversation.
Oh, so am I. So everyone, stay tuned. Don't go away. We will be right back. Everyone, this is Paula Vale, founder of Wellness Inspired and host of the Why Am I So Happy show on VBS Radio. My passion is sharing the beautiful healing modality of Reiki with the world. I help you reach a new level of self-awareness and create a more confident and empowered version of yourself. Learn how Reiki will change your life. Go to wellnessinspired.com. When you live a life with love and compassion, you allow your blessings to manifest. Check out my Reiki training and Reiki practitioner mentoring program. And look for my soon-to-be-released ebook, Why Am I So Happy? At wellnessinspired.com and thepaulavnetwork.com. Big hugs to everyone. Paula V. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Oh my gosh, we're having so much fun. I am chatting with Eddie, and he's just sharing some great inspiration and insight for all of us. It's if you're a manager, if you're an employee, being a coworker, I am just loving this and really excited about your book, Eddie. When Bosses Go Wild, Preventing Employee Morale Knockouts. I love it. I love it. So before we jump back into things, Eddie, will you share with the audience how they can reach you or order your book and maybe any other things that you have going on? Tell us about it.
Certainly. Thank you, Paula. Yes, in order to obtain my book, you can go to any online book retailer such as Amazon or Barnes and Noble and order my book. And my book is a wonderful resource to incorporate in any management training program, big or small. It doesn't necessarily have to be the main textbook in your management training program, but it can certainly be supplemental reading for employees, managers, and assistant managers, so that they all are aligned on the message. They understand exactly what types of behaviors are going to create a potential hostile work environment and what behaviors to stay away from. Let's face it, if we don't do things differently when we know what the outcome is going to be, we're bound to repeat those same bad boss behaviors. Mm-hmm. If we don't, for example, change the way we're speaking to our employees, if we don't acknowledge them when we walk into the office, we just walk past them directly into our office, don't say hello, don't greet employees, they're liable to think that there's something wrong. And most employees are liable to think that you don't like them anymore. When employees start thinking that, it all spirals out of control quickly.
Yes.
So my book is a great tool to incorporate in any company, regardless of the industry. And I encourage everyone to go on to one of the online retailers, and there are many out there, such as Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and pick up a copy or two for your employees.
I love it.
And Paula, I also want to mention that I use my book during my courses that I teach. I'm a professor, and I've been a professor at many different universities for the last decade. And my students who are working adults absolutely love the messages that I impart on them and through my book. Because and some of the takeaways from them have been that it's real life examples. It's not like a textbook per se, in that I'm not learning a bunch of theories with no application. Rather, my book gives them real-life examples of, if I did this, this is what the likely response or outcome is going to be, and this is how my employee base is going to be affected. Or, from the employee side, it gives the employee the perspective of, if I respond to my boss this way, this is the likely outcome, mm-hmm. and this is what I need to do differently or think about doing differently the next time this is happening to me, so that I can take control back of the situation, and which will allow me to stay in that environment and work happy or happily for years and years to come. Yes. Every time someone does something to us, whether it's a boss or a coworker, if the first thought is, you know what, they don't deserve me, I'm out of here, I'm going to seek greener pastures tomorrow, I'm going to dust off my resume and look for another job, or an employer that appreciates my talents. Well, that's frankly a very short-sighted thought, because because the chances of the same behaviors repeating themselves when you get to that next company are high. If we don't take command of the situation at the employee level or at the boss level, if we don't change, in other words, our thought process and how we respond to situations, then we're always going to think the world is coming to an end. Mm-hmm. And we can't have a doomsday mentality as it relates to work. It is not all negative. There are a lot of wonderful things that go on a daily basis. We just have to be have our eyes and ears open and appreciate the small things in life.
Yes.
There are a lot of good, great things going on around us. Yes. And those small wins are what we need to seek. Because if we change our attitude about how we approach problems, then like I said earlier, that attitude, the shift in your attitude, is going to be infectious towards others that you interact with on a daily basis. And that's how we gradually will shift the vibe in the office from one of negativity, one of pointing fingers, to more encouraging and positivity.
Yes, yes. And it makes me think about something, Eddie, and you know, I may be off on this. We'll see what you think. But, you know, an experience for me with working in the restaurant, I started working there in college, fell in love with it. But I had a very difficult boss, very difficult boss. But what kept me going was I loved my customers. I felt I had a server's heart. I loved them, and I think they loved me, and that is what gave me the confidence to then become a manager and then to buy it when he retired. Because even though I wasn't getting fulfillment from my boss, I was getting it in other areas, just in knowing what I was doing. So would you say that's, you know, even if we can't, you know, really be happy with our boss, we can find fulfillment. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
That's an excellent point, Paula. And earlier I mentioned that over 53% of the population is dissatisfied with some aspect of their job, and it's generally their boss.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, one source of dissatisfaction, though, is a love, is an affinity for what they do and
yes.
with whom they do it. Their
yes.
coworkers, for example, might be an extension of their family. The work that they do is stimulating, and they go home feeling really good about their accomplishments from that day. However, the one bad element, the bad egg, if you will, is so toxic in some cases that it masks the rest of the positivity that goes on around them. And it creates such a bad or hostile work environment that these employees don't want to think about anything but jumping ship and going to somewhere else that they believe is going to bring them more happiness. So I 100% agree with you, and I've experienced much the same in my career, Paula. That is, when you love what you do, when you love who you're working with, we should not let one person change any of that happiness.
Yes.
We should try to change something about the way we approach that person and improve that relationship. And through my writing, through my research, I found that there is absolutely a way to change not only the other person, but yourself and the way you think about the other person. It all requires a shift in attitude.
Yes.
And to that end, we all have the capability to make that happen and work in our favor. It's just a matter of, are we willing to invest the time? Because we know changing people's thoughts about us or the way they work with us isn't a shift overnight.
Yes.
Sometimes it could take several interactions. It could take weeks. It could take several projects for that person to gain your trust and vice versa for you to gain theirs. And that relationship, nurturing, is what is at the core of the success of any good working relationship, whether it be a boss or a coworker. If you don't have trust at the core of that relationship, much like you and your spouse, much like you and your children, then your best efforts to coach are going to fail. As I wrote in my book, if the leader, the situation, and the follower are not aligned, your best coaching efforts are destined to fail.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is, if you're using the wrong situational leadership style with an employee who is motivated but doesn't necessarily have the skill set to do a project, but you are delegating to them. You're saying, I'm going to give you until the end of the week to get this project done, but you're not giving them enough information to do their job. Come the end of the week, when they haven't finished the project to your liking, who's to blame? Is it the employee, or have we set them up to fail? So in that case, if we add or use that formula, the leader, the follower, and the situation must be in alignment. It's quite obvious that we did not allow the employee to succeed in that situation because the alignment equation was off.
Right, right. And these techniques that you share in your book, I mean, they can be put into place right away, can't they? And start making a difference just right away for the readers.
Absolutely, Paula. Without a moment's hesitation, I can 100% confidently tell you that if somebody read my book and it said, go do this, if they did that exact thing the next day, they would see proven results 100% of the time.
That's exciting. It really is. What would you say, Eddie, are the key takeaways for both the managers and the employees?
The key takeaways are that change can happen if we allow it to. If we keep an open mind that the other person has our back, has our best interest, that we are on the same team, we're fighting for the same cause, we're pushing and pulling in the same direction, then we are allowing that relationship to grow. And to that end, one of the key takeaways is we cannot believe every waking moment that somebody has our worst interest in mind. We need to flip that around and believe on the positive side. We need to have faith that the person either leading us or working for us has our back, and they are not going to mislead or misguide us. They are going to take us to the promised land through their actions and how they work with us. And if we can get to that level of belief, then the work environment organically becomes happier.
Yes.
And every one of us will be even more enthusiastic about going to work every day. And instead of feeling like it's another 9-to-5 day, it's Monday, woe is me, what's going to happen to me when I walk in, how is my boss going to criticize me today? Instead of thinking all those negative thoughts, it's going to be replaced with sheer joy about contributing to the success of your team.
Yeah.
And if we get to that point, then the economy will take off. We're talking about over half of the working adult population being disgruntled, being disenchanted and disengaged about going to work every day. Think about the productivity gains that by implementing my techniques, companies across the country and across the world, for that matter, are going to glean the benefits of. I have sold copies across the globe. I have people in, 3 out of the 7 continents that have purchased my book, and I've had nothing but positive feedback coming back. And, beyond the United States, there are different, in some countries, there are a lot of rules governing how employees and bosses interact. So even in those difficult countries, like in the Middle East, for example, people have tried my techniques and have enjoyed some success. despite the very taxing working conditions.
Yes.
So again, I want to encourage you guys to give it a chance to change your perspective about how you look at the problem and to incorporate my viewpoints, my techniques that I have spent extensive time researching and interviewing people, writing about for your benefit.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't change the way we approach the problems, then we're bound to repeat the same lackluster behaviors and demotivated employees one day to the day.
I love it. I love it. And you know, Eddie, it really would be infectious as well. As morale increases, productivity increases. So you not only benefit with feeling better about going to work and being excited about going to work, but it's going to be bigger bonuses and, you know, raises and potentially benefit you that way as well, because the business will be doing better.
Absolutely. And beyond that, beyond the financial impact, your commission or your salary, there are promotional opportunities.
Yes.
Many companies are looking to promote from within. I'm the head of learning and development for my company. And in our company, in our industry, across all industries, we're looking for talented employees to develop from within so that we maintain the same strength and culture from one employee to from one position to another. Let's face it, it's more risky to bring people in from outside the company and put them in a position that we're asking them to perform from day one, rather than develop somebody to take that higher position who already believes in the company, buys into the culture, knows about the policies and procedures. You know what you get out of that person. But because you've spent time developing them, because you have practiced these techniques that I write about, that person is now lined up for the next level, and your company will enjoy even more success in the future.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Just absolutely fascinating. We are down to about 5 minutes left in the show. What last words, what last inspiration would you like to give to the listeners today?
Well, for those of you who are looking for a guest speaker at your next company meeting, I'm available to come out and either do a seminar in person, or if you would like, I can conduct a webinar remotely. I am on, I conduct webinars and seminars on a daily basis in my line of work. I can also put together an instructional video. If you guys have a learning management system, you'd like to upload that video, then please reach out to me. My email address is E-L-O-U-S-S, like Sam, A-R-A-R-I-A-N, like Nancy, @yahoo.com. I'm also on LinkedIn. Please look me up at Eddie Lucerarian, and I'd be happy to connect. On a nightly basis, I'm also blogging on LinkedIn. So if you would like more information or would like to share some more stories with me, I'd love to give you some guidance on LinkedIn, or if you want to email me instead, we can exchange email. But bottom line, Paula and everyone who's listening, I'm here to support. And I want to see that the work environment improve and become more enthusiastic and happier because of, you know, the experiences that I've had. And it's all about the legacy. I'm trying to leave a legacy of happiness and motivation and positivity behind for everyone else to enjoy the fruits of my labor. If there's anything I can do to support you in the future, you have many different ways to get a hold of me, and I'm one email or LinkedIn email away.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, just taking in these techniques and changing the morale, oh my gosh, the impact that can make on the entire country, Eddie, it really is beautiful. It really is exciting. And what you're sharing with others, I just can't thank you enough. I think it's fantastic.
Well, as I sit in traffic every night in Los Angeles traffic, and I wonder, you know, how my day is going to be different tomorrow. How am I going to impact people so that they're happier when they come to work? Different thoughts go through my head. And I recall the times when I was, when I graduated from college, when I didn't know much about management. I had a vision, but, you know, the vision, of course, changes based on the situation. I realized at a young age that unless I tried something different, unless I used what others have done to get them to the higher level, unless I considered somebody else's perspective and became a sponge, basically, I was not going to achieve much happiness in life. The world does not meet you halfway. I think everyone will agree with that. And we need to take the bull by the horns. So I want everyone to be encouraged that the best way to go about change is to seize the day. So carpe diem and when bosses go wild. Please keep that in mind.
I love it. Seize the day. And, you know, no matter what, you know, has gone on or how long you've worked somewhere, tomorrow is a new day, isn't it? It, you know, things can change. I love that, Eddie.
That's exactly right. And just as we, those of us that have children, we see from one day to the next, them taking this, you know, they change their glum outlook on life, and something shifts in the day. Maybe you buy them a toy, you take them out for ice cream, you do something different. And if we apply that same logic to doing something different for our employees, whether that be bringing them coffee in the morning, taking them out to lunch, refreshing their approach on the day, giving them a different outlook on their career, how about we focus on their development? We put our arm around them and let them know that it's going to be okay. How about creating a work environment that is conducive to loving and caring for those that are on our team? And that goes both ways. If you're a boss or an employee, we need to put ourselves in the other person's shoes for a moment and realize, why is this person treating me the way he or she is? Is there something going on in their personal life that is causing them to respond to me in a negative fashion? And if we can get to that level of understanding, the rest is, there's nothing but upside. So I want to encourage you guys, ask yourself, why is my boss, why is my employee treating me this way? See things from their perspective and attack the problem accordingly.
Oh, that's a powerful message. Yes. Yes, Eddie. Because we don't know, and there may be a reason. And I would think there's times when someone doesn't realize how they're coming across as well.
Exactly. Yes. And in fact, one of the key takeaways for the bosses are unless the employee or unless somebody points out to them how their response to the situation is affecting their employee's morale, they'll never change. Mm-hmm. Because if I've done something the same way for years and nobody has questioned it or held me accountable for what I said, then why would I ever change, right?
Yes.
Think about it at home. It's much like if you are constantly creating a some hostility between your spouse or your children, and if you're never told that you're hurting their feelings because of your actions or the way you're talking to them, you'll never change, or you won't know to change. And that extends to the work environment as well. And that creates such a powerful message when we understand what the other person's going through. that it literally stops you in your tracks and says, wow, I didn't realize my actions were creating such a problem for this person.
Yeah.
How sad is it that not only are they working here from 9 to 5, but they have to sit in an hour of traffic and still think about their bad day. They're thinking about what I put them through today.
Mm-hmm.
And once we come to that realization, that's when things will shift. And that's when love and caring for the individual takes precedence over, pushing our agenda onto others.
Oh, Eddie. Oh, yes. Thank you so much. This has just been so fantastic. I'm so honored to have you on the show.
Yes. Paula, it has been a pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity to engage your audience today. I've enjoyed it. And again, guys, let's do something different tomorrow. Let's incorporate the principles that I write about in When Bosses Go Wild, available to you anywhere online books are sold, like Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And let's create change for the positive.
Yes, I love it. Oh, thank you, Eddie. Oh, my gosh. And to all the listeners out there, thank you. Love, hugs, and blessings to everyone. Eddie, love, hugs, and blessings. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Paula. Blessings to you and your listeners as well.
Thank you. Goodbye, everyone.